A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
Hello, fellow carnivore enthusiasts. I'm Adam from Carnivore Today. And in today's interview, we're chatting with Ron from the Overcoming Carbs YouTube channel. Ron's path to the carnivore lifestyle is one of compassion for his wife. Through his journey, we'll learn that true health comes to us in mysterious ways. Now let's get started. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing awesome. Great. So we're here today to talk a little bit about the carnivore lifestyle and get your take on it and your unique insight and hopefully help others, which I have no doubt that you will. So Ron, can you start off by giving us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're from, how old you are, family life, things like that, and then we'll start talking about the carnivore diet.
Okay. My name's Ron, and I live in Mansfield, Texas, which is kind of in between Dallas and Fort Worth, a little southern part of the DFW area. I've been married now for 26 years to my wife, Laura. We have two sons. They are 23 and 19. My 19-year-old was just diagnosed 4 years ago as a type 1 diabetic. Oh, my wife has hypothyroidism because she had her thyroid irradiated, and she also has celiacs. So she's been keto now for 11 to 12 years. I think she had the procedure done in 2011, and she went keto pretty much after that. She was celiac before that. So she's been gluten-free since like 2009, and she went keto in 2012, like the very beginning of 2012. And she's had issues ever since with weight. It's been because of medical reasons that she has her issues. Mine is self-inflicted. I don't have really a medical reason why I ended up where I'm at, but I was born in Texas, raised in Texas. I lived in a town south of here, 30 miles south of where I am right now, in a town called Cleburne. And I was born and raised there, and I got married in 1997, and we moved to Mansfield, and we've been here since 2001. So we got involved with carnivore because of her health reasons and because of my weight reasons. And the fact that I was a pre-diabetic at a 5.9 A1C and had low testosterone, low thyroid. It wasn't bad, but it was low, so she just put me on a low dose. And low vitamin D, like everyone else, and low B12. And just needed to make a change, so I made that change April 24th. Went to the doctor April 11th, made the change April 24th to carnivore. And since that time, as of pretty much today, I have lost 75 pounds. My wife has lost 15 pounds. And for the first time, she's actually losing weight, which is a great thing. But that is where we're at right now in our carnivore journey.
Cool. That's awesome. So you mentioned that your wife has had some complications, and I know through watching some of your videos on your channel that you kind of alluded to the fact that the reason why you started carnivore was researching to help with some of her medical issues and things like that.
Right.
So can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. She's eliminated a lot of things doing keto and, of course, gluten-free. And I watch everything she eats, and I know exactly what's going on. And, I mean, she deviates just a little bit. I mean, she just – it puts the weight on her. So I was getting frustrated, and I needed to find answers for her. And so I started just – looking, saying, okay, what about low carb diets? What about this? What about that? What about low carb diets with autoimmune issues? And when I went in, I think I was looking that up, and a video came up with Dr. Barry and Kelly Hogan. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting here watching this video, and my wife was gone when I was watching it, and she came back in. And I said, have you ever heard of Dr. Barry? And she's like, and this was like, I think right after KetoCon or something, because she's on Instagram. She follows a lot of people that, you know, do keto and everything. And she goes, yeah, they were just talking about him from KetoCon. And she said, have you ever heard of, I asked her, I said, have you ever heard of Kelly Hogan? And she says, yeah, so a lot of people talk about her too. I said, do you want to sit here and watch this video with me and see what you think about this, and maybe we might want to try this with you? And so we sat there and watched the video, and she's like, well, I've already eliminated pretty much everything anyway, so what can it hurt to try? Mm-hmm. And I'd gone to the doctor. We both went, we go to the same doctor. She's a general practitioner, but she specializes with people that have issues with thyroids. In a way, I mean, she problem cases, you go to her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, now when I went, I didn't know how much I weighed because my scale doesn't weigh you over 400 pounds. So okay. When I went to the doctor's office, I got on the scale and it came up as 440 pounds. And I was like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, this was almost 2 weeks later, and I'm sitting here trying to figure things out. What are we going to do? We need to change some things. We need to do something. I need to help her out to lose weight because she's just so totally frustrated and totally just, you know, not feeling up to herself. You know, she just wants something to be different. So I said, okay, if you will eliminate these things, I will do it with you because
cool.
I need to do it. You need to do it, and I'm not going to let you do it by yourself. I'm not going, I mean, I want to be here for you. I want to be here for the boys, and I need to make a change because this is just not working. So right. We sat down, and we decided then that we don't have anything to lose but life, to gain life. So
for sure.
We, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I decided then, and she decided then, that we were going to give it a shot. So I went back to the doctor on May the 11th. And again, I don't know if it's affected me any, you know, other than the physical side effects of everything. Right. So I go back to the doctor May 11th because she wanted me to come back because she put me on a testosterone replacement therapy and the thyroid medication. And she wanted me to come back because I was taking it weekly. And so she wanted me to come back, and I came back on May the 11th. And when I got in there and I weighed, I had lost 20 pounds, and I was just in shock that I lost 20 pounds. And she was like, okay, what are you doing? Because I know the testosterone didn't do this, and I know the thyroid medicine did not make you lose 20 pounds. And right. I was like, well, okay. And I was really nervous about telling her because I didn't know how she would respond. And I said, well, I'm doing this thing called, and my wife and I talked about it before I went. And said, she goes, are you going to tell her you're doing this? Are you going to tell her you're doing the carnivore? And I said, well, so she has full disclosure of what's going on. I got to tell her. And I can't just not tell her. So mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm doing this thing called carnivore diet. And she lit up and she looked at me. She goes, that's what Jordan Peterson does.
Wow, really?
And I was like, okay, you know about this. Because I saw the videos of him and Joe Rogan and him and his daughter and everything. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, so you know what's going on. And she goes, yes. And you keep doing that because wow. it's working. She says, I want to see you, though, every month just to make sure everything's okay, that you're still doing, you know, you're still progressing, that it's not doing anything to you. Well, mm-hmm. at that point, I had a pain that was in probably the left side, middle of my back. And she goes, well, let's have a sonogram done just to make sure there's nothing going on inside of you. Mm-hmm. So I want you to come back in June and we'll talk then, but in between now and then, go have the sonogram. She wrote it up, and I went and had the sonogram and the chest x-ray because she wanted to make sure about my heart. So I had the chest x-ray and the sonogram. I went to her on June the 11th. I think that was the day. I know it was around that time. Went to her, and at that point, I lost 16 more pounds on June nice. The 11th. So... from April the 11th to June the 11th, a 2-month time frame, I had lost 36 pounds. And I said, okay, so tell me about the sonogram. Tell me about the chest x-ray. She's like, the chest x-ray was great. You don't have anything. Your heart looks great. And, you know, everything looks great up there. Sonogram, you have a little bit of a fatty liver. And your spleen is a little enlarged, but nothing bad. So she said, I'm not concerned about your fatty liver because your blood work on your liver enzymes was fine. Your kidneys are fine. So I'm not really concerned. Let's just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You keep on this diet, and I believe that fatty liver will basically go away. So I was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So went back another month later in July, and at that point, I had lost another... let's see, that went from, I think I lost about 15 pounds at that point because now I was below 400 and I can actually weigh myself at home.
Awesome.
So when I got up there and she's like, okay, you just keep going because this is the smallest I've ever been going to her. And she was like, this is just crazy. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm still on the testosterone, and I don't think I finished off like the 3-month supply of the thyroid replacement. So I'm not doing that anymore. But as of now, I am not taking anything else. I'm not taking my blood pressure medicine. I was on verapamil and also Olmesartan because my blood pressure was just up in the 150s and
oh, wow.
nothing was really keeping it under control. It's like 150 over, I'm thinking around 95 to 100. Mm-hmm. And I decided after losing the 70 pounds, not, you know, before I lost 75, I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to see what my body does. So I eliminated the verapamil because I was taking it at night. Mm-hmm. And everything was still, you know, around 120, 130 over 70. And so I was like, okay, so I can eliminate that. So like another week or two later, I took out the Olmesartan that I was taking in the morning. And again, you know, a few days later after I, you know, made sure, you know, everything's all out of my system, I was taking my blood pressure again. I'm still in the 120s and the, you know, 130s. And I'm like, okay, I'm not taking this stuff anymore. I don't need this stuff in my body. And nice. Another thing, I was really concerned when I first started this about gout. Mm-hmm. And I saw Dr. Barry's video on it, and saw some other people talking about it. I even saw the Michigan foot. Is a Michigan foot doctor? I think is his name. He talked about gout and everything. But they talked about that it's not really your body has the uric acid in there. It's a common thing your body makes and so forth. So it's always going to be there. And the thing that it happens is, it's like, what did Kim Berry say? He said something about like eating meat is not going to add to your uric acid level any more than dropping salt in the ocean. I think is how he put it. Because you have so much in your body already that just eating beef is not. So what is it that's causing these flare-ups? Or what is it that actually irritates it or makes it inflamed? Mm-hmm. And that's the inflammation and also the sugar and the fructose. And they said one of the remedies that a lot of people do is a tart cherry juice. You know, drink that.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, and you know, I would do it sometimes, and I'm like, this is not helping me any. You know, like, they had this thing they call gout. It's GOUCH, and it was cherry extract on something else, and it was a pill form. And I would take that, and that actually did give some relief, but it didn't have the carbs in it that you know juice extract had.
Yeah.
So I was like, when he even said that about, you know, the juice and, you know, that, I was like, that makes sense, you know, because I was like, this is something, because after I started, I was like, you know, nothing's happening. I'm not having any flare-ups. And I stopped I took out Purinol, and that didn't even faze me. I was up to like I think the max you can take on it is 300 milligrams. And that didn't even do anything for me. So they put me on Uloric, and I tried it on 40 milligrams. And that helped a little, but then they put me on 80, and that actually got my numbers down. So I haven't taken any of that since I started this.
That's amazing. So,
yeah, and I'm like, you know, if you're worried about gout, or if you're worried about, you know, blood pressure, if you're worried about... I'm not taking it. And I was bad. I mean, it was debilitating. It actually would reside in my knees and my ankles. It wouldn't, you know, they say it goes to your toes and your fingers and your extremity. Mine would actually go to my knee, and I couldn't walk. And it was so bad sometimes when I was working at this one place that I could barely walk on the floor to go places or go up the stairs or anything. It would kill me. And I haven't had that. And you know, they're like, don't eat the red meat. Don't eat this. No, it's not that. Believe me, it is not that, because if it was, I'd be crawling in bed and not being able to move because of so much red meat that I've been eating lately. For somebody who had gout for, I would say 10 to 12 years, and not have a flare up in the last, you know, 6 months almost, or 5 months. No.
Yeah. You would know immediately. Because right there on the surface. So.
Oh yeah. So it's nice, but that's where, my wife, it was to get her starting in a down, trajectory was important. We are, I think, inhibited because she is on a beta blocker. So her heart rate really doesn't ever get up like above 101, 102. But she has to be on such a high dose of thyroid medication to get her numbers up that it reacts with her heart, that she actually gets like rapid heart rates and palpitations and things like that because of the medication. Because she has to take so much to get her numbers up. So they put her on the beta blocker to basically offset that. So with that,
special challenges then.
Yeah, she does. And then of course I'm 53, she's 55. So the whole woman thing going on right now, that doesn't help either. You know, issues. So she's got that. I mean, she got so many strikes against her right now, but to actually lose 15 pounds and all those things compounded on her is, you know, we're both excited. I mean, she gets discouraged a little bit because she hasn't lost as much, but she is losing.
Well, that's better than going the other direction.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, for anybody that's actually, you know, fighting the same fight with their thyroid, with beta blockers, or it takes longer.
For sure.
It is. And we want to get to a point where her body is more receptive to the thyroid hormone, so she doesn't have to take as much. Mm-hmm. So we can eventually get her off of the beta blockers. But with everything that was going on in her body, we just couldn't get that point, but we are getting there. So it's not something that's just going to happen overnight.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race. So it sounds like it's definitely most likely going to happen at some point. It's just stay in the course.
Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. So in total, your weight loss, let's hit on that a little bit. Your weight loss numbers to this point, what exactly have you hit in that? And just tell us a little bit about that and how long it took you.
As of today, I've lost 75 pounds.
Wow.
And I get on the scale and it shows 365 pounds now, where I was 440 when I first started. Ooh. And it's mind-boggling, to say the least. I mean, I don't remember when I was 365 before. I know before I went in 2009, I was put on a CPAP because of I was having, when they did the sleep study, I was doing, I think they said 900 events an hour. Stop breathing. And so I know I weighed more than I am right now when I did the sleep study, because I can remember going to the doctor, you know, every month to check the machine and everything. And it was like 390 pounds, I think I was at that point. And so I'm, you know, clothes, it's bad because clothes are fitting, you know, loosely, I guess you would say. And
right.
And it's like, I have some of my older clothes that I used to have, you know, before I gained a lot of weight, you know, so I've gone down from being in an almost six or wearing a 6X. Now I'm down to a 4X.
Nice.
So, I'm want to keep, you know, I've got a lot more to go. And my first goal, and this is why I said my family is so important, is I made a pact with my oldest son that once I match him in weight, he's going to join me and do carnivore with me. So my why right now as to why I'm, you know, doing this and trying is I want to get to where he is in better health. And I want to do that by an example to him. His thing was that I'm sure he did the pact because he probably didn't think I would do it or, you know, get down there. He probably didn't think I would actually lose the weight because my whole life I've been overweight, you know, so he's never seen me, you know, any smaller than probably what I am right now. And when he was born, he probably weighed, I probably weighed 295 pounds when he was born 24 years ago or 23 years ago. Because when I got married, I was 270 pounds in 1997.
Okay.
And, so I have 170 pounds that I gained from 97 until now in these 26 years. And he was, when I stopped drinking soda in May, my wife told him that I'm not drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Coke, or whatever. He was like, what? Because it was like, uh-oh, this is really happening.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, I've always drank, you know, something diet around him and everything. And so I keep giving a hard time. I keep saying, hey, I'm only, you know, such and such away from you. So I'm getting there. I'm more than halfway there now. You know, stuff. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Can you slow it down a little bit, Dad?
Really? Can I at least have Christmas?
Yeah. Right.
So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. That's the thing. My thing is to get to him, but eventually I want to get to what I weighed when I graduated high school, and that was around 211 pounds, and then just see, you know, if my body will actually go any lower than that. It may not, but I was in pretty good shape at that point when I graduated.
It will.
So it's slow. It's been only 2 or 3 pounds here the last couple of weeks, but it's still moving. Mm-hmm. And I just know my body's going to adjust, and one day I'm going to go in there and it's going to be shroom, back down, you know, it's going to drop and I'm going to go, what happened? You know,
yeah.
I haven't had this whoosh effect that I think y'all talked about on your keto cookout. I think somebody talked about that one time.
Right.
I think it was y'all. Wasn't it y'all that were talking about the whoosh?
We talked about all kinds of stuff. I don't remember exactly. We get into all kinds of crazy stuff.
But I looked at the whoosh effect is like when your body just like decides it's going to start dumping the fat again.
Right.
Because your body, you know, it goes through cycles where, and Dr. Barry even talked about this, where you go along and then all of a sudden you'll start creeping back down again, but you'll hit what they call plateau or stall. It's not really a plateau or stall. It's just your body adjusting.
For sure.
Because your body's always constantly doing that.
Yeah, it knows exactly what to do once you give it the right fuel. And I think a lot of times when there is that stall, it's your body replacing cells because you're giving it that fuel that it needs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, we're going to stop doing this for a little bit so we can make some repairs here and over here. And then once we're good to go, then we're going to pick it back up again.
Right.
So, yeah. But don't be surprised when you go far beyond what you think you need to be at. I did, and I'm shocked.
Well, I'm not really going to put it. I'm not going to put it. If my body decides it wants to do more, that's great. So, but I'm not going to be disappointed if it doesn't.
Right. I was the same. I was shocked. I was like, man, I'm happy at this, and I'm like 20 pounds. I went 20 pounds beyond that, you know. And I'm a small guy, so that was a lot for me, anyways. And now I'm way down there. I'm almost to the point I'm like, man, am I too skinny? I'm really not. But just seeing myself fat, you know, for so many years.
Yeah.
It's just weird looking in the mirror.
It is weird. Yeah. My wife tells me, hey, I can see your eyes better now or something. I'm like, what? I don't feel like you can, but okay, if you think you can. So.
Right.
People think that, like, you know, my eyes are kind of squinted or whatever, that I'm like asleep or something, but that's just the way my eyes are. Like this one over here, it's not closed, it's just it's more narrow than my other eye.
Right.
So it's just one of those things.
They're opening over time.
Yep.
That's awesome. So have you tried any other weight loss diets in the past?
Oh my gosh. When I was a teen, I tried Weight Watchers. And that was, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to go into that. also did the low-fat thing, and I lost weight on that. But you know, what do they replace the fat with? Sugar?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're it was like in the early 2000s, I think is what it was, where the low-fat craze was going around. Everything was like, no-fat this and low-fat this, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, when you look at the ingredients on those things, and I remember looking at them, it's like, yeah, there's no fat, but there's like, instead of 7 grams of sugar, it has 14 grams of sugar in it compared to the full fat one, you know. Right. It's like, so you're going, oh my gosh. Well, anyway, I tried that. And then I did this thing that was going through the churches back around 1999 to 2000. It was called Way Down Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that, and I lost weight with that. But it's kind of the same thing as what I'm currently doing, but different, because on the Way Down Workshop, you wouldn't drink anything but water, and you could drink whatever you wanted in your meals, and then you eat whatever you wanted, but only eat when you're full, okay, until you're full.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a certain window of eating. It was almost an intermittent fasting thing, because the rest of the time you're supposed to be spending, you know, in scripture and things like that, not concentrating on all the other stuff. But now with the way I'm eating, with the one meal a day, it's different, because, I mean, I'm drinking water all the time now. Mm-hmm. And with the one meal a day, I eat and eat until I'm full. And that's the only time I eat. And that's usually around 6 o'clock at night. And I don't eat any other part of the day or anything like that. So they're very similar in that aspect. So I lost weight with that, but I didn't lose 75 pounds. Also did Atkins and the South Beach diet. I lost weight with them, brought it back on. What else did I try? I've done low carb with my wife and keto with my wife off and on. Tried just intermittent fasting for a while before I decided to do this, where I was eating in a 6 hour window. But when my doctor told me, he said, why don't you try intermittent fasting? And you can, you know, eat between like a 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and the rest, or it's like 8 hour window, I think is what it was. It's 16 hours off, 8 hours on. Mm-hmm. I'd eat like from 12 to 8 o'clock, and that would be my window. But you know, that gives you almost a free rein to eat whatever you want in that 8 hour window. Right. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. You know, I can eat at 12 an 8.
I can eat cake for 8 hours.
So I'm like, intermittent fasting, no problem.
Yeah, right.
I won't eat breakfast, and I'll just eat at 12, and I'll eat at 7 o'clock. And heck, you know, I'll eat, you know, nachos or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, or pizza. That's great. I'll take that. That's no problem. You know, I went to the doctor. I was weighing 440 pounds. I was like, that didn't work. Intermittent fasting works if you follow a diet with it. So when this came around, I was like, I went all in on carnivore, and I was going, I jumped in with both feet. I mean, I just jumped in. And it is a shock to your system. Your system just goes, wow, what have you done to me? And you need, you know, let's stop this. And I got to readjust, and I got to do this. I got to dump this. If people are starting this, they need to do it slow. I've seen so many things out there that, you know, people just say, okay, I'm starting carnivore and I'm going to do it today. And then a week later, like, what happened to me? And I was like, yeah, I was there. I did that.
Yeah,
I did that to myself. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we don't do it to our pets. We don't change their food. You know, we don't go buy something new and just give it to them, because we don't want to have the aftermath of that. Mm-hmm. We've been told by our vet, you know, if you're going to change the food, incorporate a little bit until you're completely over to that new food. Well, we don't even think about that with ourselves. We don't even think to do things slowly. We're just like, okay, I'm going to commit to something. I'm going to commit to something, you know? And so we commit to something, and then we're like, what in the world is going on with me?
You know? Yeah, it's like, for sure.
It's like, well, your body has been doing something for now 53 years, and you think that you're going to eat differently. And now you're going to just all of a sudden just go, everything's normal. You know, it's like, no, it's not going to be that way.
Not yet. So,
yeah, diets are, I like the thing that they say is a way of eating. It's not a diet. It's an elimination of everything we don't need or don't require to basically, you know, a lot of people, they reincorporate things. That's fine. But what I discovered on this and the way my body, what my body told me, I'm not going back. There's no way I can go back. There's no way I can go back to what I was doing before. Incorporating any kind of plant, fruit, my body, my chemistry is not made for that.
Right.
And I know that now. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing keto and low carb, you were like, okay, well, I can have like up to 20 grams of carbs or, you know, even a little bit more than that. Right. And I would take in a carb, but my body was like, you know, there's this amygdala in our brain that they say that whenever they put in on a PET scan, that when they show them in images of things, people that have a food addiction or a substance addiction to food, that they that amygdala lights up when they had to do this scan, when they're showing them images. Mm-hmm. And my amygdala, basically, if you see it, if you smell it, if you taste it, it lights up and it just goes and it's running all the time. And basically, if I don't want that to happen, I'm not going to put it back in my life. I'm not going to do it. And just like an alcoholic that, you know, there's some alcoholics that can, you know, take a sip or whatever and be okay. Mm-hmm. There's other alcoholics that you give them a sip and they'll just take over and they'll go right back into what they were doing. Mm-hmm. My thought is that if I introduce that into my life, if I introduce that into my diet, if I introduce that into my body, it's going to take off because it did before. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got on the carnivore diet that I didn't realize that, because the whole aspect of your brain and the dopamine that's released. And there's two different thoughts on dopamine as far as, is it released as a receptor to a reward and in anticipation of a reward? Mm-hmm. Or is it released because you did something and now it releases it? So to me, through this process of eating and eating this way, I was able to say, before, when I was on keto, when I was on low carb, I didn't know how to stop because my amygdala and everything were in overdrive because it was stimulated and the dopamine was released. And the more it is released, the more that it's overactive, the more that you have that going on, your brain actually develops less receptors. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you get, instead of just an insulin resistance that builds up in your body, you get a dopamine resistance, and it requires you to do more to get that fix, to get that stop. Mm-hmm. When you're actually satisfied. So in me, in my addiction, and the reason why I named the channel Overcoming Carbs is,
I love
because,
that name, by the way.
Well, thank you. I've heard, you know, different people say, put carnivore in your name and everything.
Right.
And I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, hey, what should I name this channel? And we're throwing out different ideas. And she goes, you don't want to turn people off by your name and stuff. So right. I was like, well, what do you think about, because, you know, I've overcome my carb addiction, what about just Overcoming Carbs? And she's like, yeah, that's great. Just do that.
Yeah.
And so we kind of thought it out together. But I was able, through carnivore, to have an off switch because I wasn't giving it something that it desired. So when I ate, even a little bit of sugar, a little bit of carb or whatever would want me to have more and more and more, you know, like a casserole or something like that would actually have different flavors in it. It wasn't just a meat or protein or anything like that. You just wanted to eat more. So when I went strictly to meat, basically doing the, you know, I was beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, but, you know, any kind of meat in there, and chicken, fish, you know, pork, beef. I actually got to a point where my body said, hey, you know, I've had enough. I don't need any more because I'm not really getting, you know, like a stimulation from this. So then at that point, I was eating to live instead of living to eat. And it dawned on me that I was able to stop without just trying to eat more and more, because my wife, when I was doing keto or whatever, I would get a salad. And my wife was like, you know, do you think that's too much salad? And I'd be like, I'm like, hey, it's below 20 carbs. You know,
right?
You know, when I calculate it all up, you know, I'm still below my thing. But my whole thought was, is that I would eat it, but I wouldn't realize that what I was eating was more than what a person should be eating.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because I was stupid or because I've never been told. It was just because my brain wanted more.
Right.
And it took more for me to get satisfied. It took mm-hmm. more for my brain to say, okay, we're good. You know, let's get it. And I didn't realize all that. And then when I went on carnivore, it's like light bulbs started going off and sensors started going off in my body. And it was like, you know, voila.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could still get, you know, the amygdala going off whenever you see commercials. And, you know, when the food industry was taken over by the tobacco industry, and the tobacco industry did a strategic move in the 70s and the 80s where, you know, people were coming down on, you know, tobaccos, that they're bad, you know, cigarettes were bad and everything, you know, that, you know, and you started seeing them not being allowed to, you know, show the Marlboro man actually smoking on TV mm-hmm. any longer. And you couldn't see, you know, the Virginia Slims, the ads in the magazines, they were just holding the cigarette, but they weren't actually smoking the cigarette
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't do that. Just like on the alcohol commercials, you know, you see the old Michelob commercials with all the football players and stuff, but they weren't actually ever able to drink it, but they just showed it. Well, the whole thing was, is when they had all these things going on, they took over the food industry. And they said, what's the next best thing basically that we can, that's the addictive thing? And it's highly processed foods and carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And at that point in the 70s and 80s, our whole food, you know, our food pyramid, you know, was defined by, you know, everything. And I have a background. My family has a background, a farming background. I've mm-hmm. come from a long line of farmers, dairy farmers. I was in FFA, and I showed cattle, and I raised a heifer that, you know, had a calf and everything. You know, I've done it all, and my family has a long background in this. So I'm not knocking the farmer, because the government basically said, hey, we need you to produce grain so that we can use it as an export. And then when those countries said, no, we don't need it anymore, they're like, what are we going to do with all these excess grains? Let's make them healthy. And they started pushing right. it on everybody. And you know, they said, we got to get rid of the surplus. So what's good? Well, we'll start making all these seed oils, and we start seeing all these margarines and things that's not butter, but it's made mm-hmm. from these things that they can utilize. And on all these cereals that came out, and mm-hmm. all these cereals were pushed on kids and everything. And it was like our whole dynamic changed in the late 70s, early 80s. And I was a pretty small kid up until I was probably like 10 years old or 11 years old. And then I started having all these things introduced into me. My brain started taking over. My brain started kicking in. And the whole dopamine, you know, thing started going. And it's been on fire for 43 years, I would say. And it's nothing. My parents didn't do anything wrong. Your parents, you know, our parents, mm-hmm. they were just doing what they were, you know, what we were instructed.
Right.
And I really believe that it was a, you know, well-designed plan. And now it's just like we need to open the eyes of people, just like my eyes were open and other people's eyes have been open, that we don't need it. We don't. It made me who I am. Mm-hmm. Those highly processed foods and carbs and everything else, and I don't need to basically have that going on. And now that I'm doing the proper human diet and proper nutrition, that I am able to overcome many things and be able to be an example for my family, to be an example to others. And I couldn't do this without, you know, this way of eating.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of good points you had there for sure. So let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And find out what exactly does Ron like to do in his free time. Do you have any hobbies or anything?
Oh, I love playing video games with my sons.
Nice.
What
do you guys play?
Well, my oldest son, we used to do a bunch of co-op games together. He's a first-person shooter specialist. But I used to give him a hard time because we play a game together and he'd just tear off. Man, he was gone. And I'd be like,
"Wait for dad."
Yeah, I was like, "Wait a minute," because he would run ahead and all these outside things would come in and start attacking me. I was like, "Hey, you just pulled in." It was like the Red Sea collapsing on the Egyptians. You know,
nice.
It's like you see Moses and all the Israelites going through the Red Sea, and then all of a sudden here I am coming through and all these things are collapsing on me. That's the way I felt sometimes playing. But I like playing, you know, the Red Dead Redemption games and things like that. And
right,
you know, I'm not a big multiplayer game person like they are, because I don't like people coming in there and just killing me and when I'm not even good. You know.
Yeah. So yeah, you spawn and a half a second later, you're dead again.
I was like, this is not fun, you know. I'm more of a Skyrim kind of guy, you know. Like I like to go in and explore and look around, and you know, where my son likes to run and gun. And I was like, hey, did you look at that box over there to see what was in it?
Right.
He's like, and he's like, "What? Yeah. What box?" And I'm like, "That one right over here. Let me show you." You know, it's like, he's like, "I'm killing this person. Leave me alone."
Right.
And I'll go, "Yeah, okay."
I love the games like Skyrim too. Those are incredible. The one I was on for a while was, I think it was called Shadows of Mordor.
Oh yeah, he played that one
game.
Too.
Oh my gosh, that was the first game I think that I've ever played religiously and went all the way to the end and started back over.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and then now I'm on to Witcher 3, and it's those games are just incredible, man.
Now, did you watch the series?
Incredible. I did watch the series, and I was very disappointed. Season 3 was horrible. And the fact that Cavill's gone is just, oh, man, it doesn't make me happy, because he was the perfect person for that role.
Yeah, he was. He was a great Geralt. Yeah, he was.
For sure. But he's supposed to be rebooting the Highlander series, I think. So
now I heard about the Highlander coming back, but you know, there can only be one.
Right.
So, if there can only be one, so why are they making it again? Yeah, that was great. You know, that the very first one was great. Everything else after that, not as much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure. That's another thing I like to do on my free time is watching movies with my wife. I watch the chick flicks with her, and she watches the adventures with me. And we make our, you know, she's like, "Oh, I don't know." And it's like, "Oh, we're watching Ahsoka with my boys, you know, right now." And she's like, "I don't know if I want to watch it." Then she sits there and watches it with us.
That's awesome. Does she stay awake?
Oh, most of the time.
Okay, nice.
If she really wants to go to sleep, all I have to do is put a Hallmark movie on. And about 20 minutes left in the movie, she's out. And I'm like, do you want to see how it is? And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, oh my God. It's pretty predictable, but, you know, you want to see it, right?
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. That's awesome. So let's go back to the carnivore. So you had mentioned that you've seen improvements with the gout. Are there any other non-scale victories that you've seen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the losing of inches. I took measurements of myself in June, and we did it again in August. Mm-hmm. And in August, from the measurements I took before, I didn't expect a big number because I hadn't really felt a whole lot. But when you take the neck, the chest, the stomach, your legs, you know, your calves, your thighs, your upper arms, and your lower arms, and when you take them all and then you take measurement and you compare, I had lost 24 3/4 inches over my entire body.
Ooh, awesome, man.
And I have actually gone to a different belt. I had to move down to belt because I haven't bought any new pants. I need to buy some new pants. But I've lost the most in my chest, my stomach, and my rear.
Right.
And I think I lost like 18 inches between my chest, my stomach, and my rear. I think it was like 6 inches in each area. And the other ones were like just maybe an inch or so here and there. My legs weren't really, because of supporting this weight, my legs have always been kind of fit.
Right.
I carry all my weight basically between my groin and my neck, you know, right up here. And So, you know, it's going to be lost from here to, you know, down there. Mm-hmm. And I would say that. And my other non-scale victory was when I was able to walk up just a flight of stairs and not be out of breath when I got to the top.
Nice.
Before, you know, when I was walking with people and stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to take the stairs and I'm going to be up there at the top and I'm going to look like I'm dying. And these people are going to look at me like, are you okay? You know? And then I was like, okay, you know what? I've lost some weight. I'm going to walk up these stairs and I want to see what happens. So I get up to the top and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm dying. When I got to the top, I was like, oh my gosh, I can breathe, you know? Right. I'm not sitting there going,
right? Yeah.
You know, and like your heart's about to come out of your chest. Like, what are you doing to me? You know, it's like, I would get to my desk, you know, at work or something. I'd be like, oh, please help me. And, you know,
give me an hour. I'll be back.
Yeah. I always thought it was funny, though. It's like, why is there a defibrillator in a case on the top of these stairs?
You know, now, like, you know.
I was like, maybe that's for me.
Yeah.
I was always scared that I was going to have to use it on myself, you know.
Yeah.
Just get over there for me. It's like, I made it to the top and I need this, you know. It's like, so the first time I got to the top of the stairs, I was like, yes.
That's awesome, man.
So those are my non-scale victories, I would say.
Sweet. That's no small feat, you know, especially with the stairs. I've noticed that myself. You know, I wasn't like extremely overweight or anything like that, but at least for me it was. And even being at the weight I was, it was the same for me. Like, I wanted to die at the top of stairs or anything like that. And now I'm just like, you know, skipping two steps at a time. And I got no problems, you know, and I'm looking back at everybody else like, come on, just, you know, what's like wrong with y'all? And everything. Let's go. Come on, you know? Yeah, right. Exactly. You need to overcome them carbs. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, so on your channel, you do like a weekly update on like carnivore meals on a budget. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Well, you hear about, you know, how can you afford eating meat all the time? And one of the things people are, you know, are always concerned about is like, if I go on an all meat diet, will I be able to do it? Well, number one, I'm only eating one meal a day now. So I can pretty much eat for $12. You know, one steak, $12.
Right.
But, you know, I got to think about my sons and my wife, too. So,
right.
You know, they're not, my sons aren't doing it, so I still have to get food for them. And my wife, she's doing it with me. So she and I, she eats, you know, 2 to 3 times a day. I eat 1 time a day, so I still have to do all that. So you got to think about money. You got to think about, okay, how much am I going to, you know, have to put into this? Well, now that I'm not doing the medication each month, I'm going to save that money. Now that I'm only eating once a day, I'm saving that money. I'm not eating out. I mean, I can't really eat out without, you can eat out, but I want to know what's going in me. You know, while I'm doing this, when I get to a point where I've, you know, gotten, you know, where I've lost the weight, then that might be another story. But right now, I want to know what I'm putting in my body. And I can't afford the grass-fed, grass-finished, grass, you know, all the, you know, $19 steaks, you know, and stuff like that for all four of us. Or so what can we do? So I go out and I look at all the ads that are come out on Tuesdays. And I take a look to see what's on sale this week. And I just look for the things that would fit a carnivore lifestyle. And I put those in. Like I'm going to be doing a video today for that. And, you know, they're right now with the whole the Labor Day weekend. A lot of them are putting ribeyes on sale. You can actually go to a grocery store, Market Street, right now and get 4.97 ribeyes. Wow. And they're limited to 2. Now, there's a way to get around that 2.
For sure. I would find a way.
Well, you have more than one phone number. You know, you can do each one of your cell phones, do an account on each one, and you can get 2 packs, you know, the 2 or 3 steaks and on one phone. Get 2 or 3 packs on the other phone and so forth. Right. So there's ways around it. I know that Kroger is also, they're doing 5.97 ribeyes, and also Tom Thumb is doing 4.97 or 5.97 ribeye too. I have to look at my thing. But you got Tom Thumb, Albertsons, Market Street, and you have Kroger all doing ribeye sales this week. Now, I prefer to go into Sam's and get a Sam's ribeye, you know, but you're talking $12.98 a pound.
Right.
Versus $4.97 or $5.97 a pound.
Right.
I mean, I can get 2 steaks, 2 pounds of meat versus this 1 pound. You know, I'm feeding 4 people. Yeah. I'm going to go with the $4.97. It may not be as good. But to eat meat and to be on this diet, sometimes you got to do what you have to do.
For sure.
And that's why I go out there and I look at them and I look at all the ads so I can let people know that, I mean, and I've even found out that other people in other areas can actually, if they know where the ad is, that their store will match it, even though it's not in their area. And I thought that was weird, because she's like, if you can tell me what your zip code is, because if you tell me what your zip code is, then I can tell my store and then they'll honor that same price. If it's a Kroger in a different area, or so I put it out there, your Kroger may not do it, but they will match it if you talk to them. So just think about that. You know, even if everybody did that, if everybody showed what was in their area, then we could all benefit around this country, you know, as far as, hey, Ohio's has a sale today. Hey, you know what the price are, you know, up here at the, you know, it's like your Kroger or whatever. Do you have Kroger? Or do you have Fred Meyer?
Yep, Kroger. Okay. Yep.
So if you go into Kroger right now, and you see a deal like I did one time, and it wasn't even advertised. They had $6.99 ribeyes, but it wasn't on their ad. They were just doing it in the store. So I put it out there that, hey, my Kroger has $6.99 ribeyes right now, and it's in their app.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the lady said, hey, what's your zip code? Because they'll match it. So if you went into your Kroger and you actually went in there and they had New York strips or ribeyes or whatever, and they said, hey, my Kroger right now is offering, you know, $5.99 ribeyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can go into my Kroger and say, hey, at this zip code, they've got it on sale. Why don't y'all? And they'd be like, oh, okay, well, we'll honor that.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay, well.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, so that's just one reason why I do it, just because I know people that are on a budget, they're feeding, like, I mean, you look at Aaron Kilby, he has 8 kids. Holy cow. You know?
Yeah, right.
How are you going to feed 8 kids and still be on this diet, you know?
Right.
If you want to keep them kind of ketovore or whatever, you know, where they still have a little bit. So if we all did it, if all of us that had a channel would just say, hey, you know, put it out there on our notifications or whatever. Hey, guess what? In my store, we got this.
Right.
Then we can all benefit from it.
They'll honor that across state lines.
Yeah. That's what she said. I was like,
really?
Yeah. She's like, just tell me your zip code. Cause she was in Georgia or something.
Okay.
In Georgia or Florida, I can't remember where. And I was like, well, here's my zip code. And she goes, well, they'll honor it. And I was like, okay,
wow.
Here it is. Here's my zip code. This is where it's at. This is what's on the app.
Nice.
I think probably because she could bring it up, because you can look for other stores.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put the zip code in and then bring it up, then she could show it to them on the app,
mm-hmm.
saying, here's the price.
And right.
Then they'll, you know, it's a Kroger.
Nice.
So
that's awesome. That's a great tip. Yeah, I found that it's much cheaper for us. I mean, it's like a third to half as far as spending money from what I was spending before, because you're not snacking and,
oh yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just what, $2, $4, $5 in a snack machine, you know, uh-huh. and then going to Starbucks. I mean, oh, the cost of going to Starbucks.
There.
Yeah. Like one drink is like $8 to $10, right? And
yeah. I'd rather have an $8 or $10 steak.
Yeah, that's how much I eat in food in an entire day.
Yeah, you think I'm going to buy an $8 coffee when I can just have an $8 steak? No.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't even buy that one time a month. So imagine, you know, people that consistently buy that stuff, how much money that they are wasting. Yeah.
And they got to realize that, too. Your body is going to tell you what it needs. And eventually you're going to go, I'm just not hungry.
Right.
So you're going to start eating less regardless of, because your body's just going to say, hey, well, whatever, you don't need to eat, you know, just listen to me. I'll tell you what I need.
Right.
And it's going to take a while. Yeah. For your body to adjust, but you're going to be eating less. So it's a very, very thing. I don't want people to not do this because of money, because you will, the benefits outweigh and you will get the money back. I mean, if you even look at Amanda off of Carnivorous Me, she was talking about, did you see her video where she was talking about what she used to spend in a month on food?
I haven't seen that.
Okay, you need to go look at that one, because she's like, I spent $1,500 on food just over the two.
Oh, I have seen that one. Yeah.
Where she's, the two of them were spending $1,500 in 1 month. I was like, holy cow, I've got 4 people. If I spent $1,500 in 1 month, I'd be out of my house.
You know? Right.
I was like, how do you spend $1,500? Because they were eating out, and they were eating out a lot of their meals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too, is you won't eat out as much because you won't want to, because you want to know what's going on. You want to know what's going in
you. Exactly. So. Yeah, and you don't. The whole deal with like carbs and the sugar and whatnot is, the more you eat, the more you crave. And and then it gets you into that spiral of, well, I'm not going to eat the same carbs or the same sugar. I want variety in my life. So let's try these carbs or this sugar over here. Is, you know, it's all the same thing. It's just done a different way, you know, and that, along
receptors.
With the social aspect, you know, and the mental thing you got going on. Once you start the carnivore diet, it's like, you don't care about any of that anymore.
No, you don't. No. No. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly that you don't care about that anymore. And it's not that you're trying to be unsocial.
Right.
Or, I mean, okay, here, case in point, my parents had their 60th anniversary. Okay. And I went to the anniversary party for them. This was in July. Now, I've seen a lot of people say, well, I can't go to those because they're too, you know, enticing, or I may, you know, go off, you know, I may go off of my diet and try to do something. The thing is that you don't have to do it. You don't have to like have the cake. You don't have to do all these things. But I went to their anniversary party and I said, you know, when I was there, and I didn't have all those things, but I wasn't going to miss out on their party because I thought I couldn't, you know, mm-hmm. because I knew when I get there, it would be enticing, yes, to have cake, but I'm not going to miss my parents' 60th anniversary just because of how I am or because right. of my fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, didn't have any of it. You know, you have people like, are you going to have any right. cake? Are you going to, you're like, shut up and leave me alone. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to have any cake. I'm fine. Thank you. But right. you're not going to yeah. be that rude. You know, but you're like,
right.
no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I don't yeah. need it right now. And, you know, they don't realize, you know, what you're doing or not doing, you know, but mm-hmm. you're not going to avoid, you know, being social because of this way of eating.
Right.
And sure. you're, you know, if your friend invites you to a restaurant or something like that, you're not going to say, no, I'm on a diet.
Right.
You know, you're not going to do that. You're not,
right.
you're not, oh, I'm sorry. We'll do it some other time. Like when I'm, you know, lost 180 pounds, you know, you're not going to do that.
Right. So
you're going to go and then you're going to have what you can have. Mm-hmm. But, yep. I've watched some of Laura Spath's videos too. On she's like, this is what I eat when I go to Olive Garden. And I'm like, that costs $40 for what you just ate.
Yeah.
you
right.
know, like, I get this meat, I get this meat. I'm like, I don't think so. I'd rather just not eat meat when I get home. It's just be there for right. the social aspect, or give me, yeah. you know, like a piece of chicken or something, you know, just so while I'm there, I look like I'm, you know, being partial.
Right.
Yeah. Participating in this. But I'm not going to sit there and buy a $40 meal just yeah. to eat.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
So, yeah, you don't want to eat out, but you do, you know, you still want to be social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, if somebody was thinking about starting a carnivore diet and they're watching this video, what would be your top advice for them?
Slow. That's, I'm sorry, but if my top advice would be do it, because it's going to be revealing. It's going to be, you're going to see things, or you're going to feel things that you haven't felt before. You're going to realize things about yourself that you have never realized before. You're going to have relief on things that you've never had relief through modern medicine before, because you are going to do things that your body will respond to regardless. My wife, she's responded. It's been slow, but it's responded. You are going, if you jump all in like I did, you're going to have repercussions. You're going to have, doesn't happen to everybody. I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice. And this is not, but you need to do it slow, because you need to basically incorporate it into your life until it is what your way of eating is. So you alter your way of eating until the carnivore is your way of eating. That is my biggest advice to anybody. And don't let money be a fear. Don't let social situations be a fear. You got to take control of your life. You got to take control of your health. Doctors aren't going, they're going to tell you what you need to do. They're going to give you advice on what you should do. They're going to prescribe you things to try to make your life better. But until you take control and until you decide that you're going to make changes, they can only do so much. They can only, you know, tell you to do things or advise you to do things, but until you actually do something that they can't have any control over, they can't control what you eat. They can't control how you eat or how much you eat, but you can control what you do to your body. You can control how your body responds, because you can give it what it needs, and it's not going to be a fight inside you to basically, it's not going to want things it doesn't need. It's not going to desire things it doesn't need. It's going to allow you to be able to think, to be able to feel, to be able to work like it should. And the whole brain fog thing that they talk about is so true, because I was getting to a point where I'm having a hard time remembering things, having a hard time basically just remember things I used to remember, just, you know, boom, you know. But whenever all that other stuff, you know, stopped, all the other stuff that was going on, I was able to think clearer. I was able to be able to focus on things. I was able to do things. Medicine can't buy you that. There's only so much that you can get. And, you know, some medicines, they create other issues. So take control of yourself. Take control of who you are. Take control of your future. And the best way to do it, and if you're in a situation like I was, and you're, you know, 250 pounds overweight, just, you're gonna have to do it. You're gonna have to make the decision. And nobody, I mean, we can tell you how it's helped us. We can tell you how we feel. We can tell you where we're at and how we're going along this journey and what we've experienced. But hearing what somebody has gone through, hearing what somebody has done, hearing how it's done, what it's done for them, is not the same as experiencing it for yourself. I didn't know that I would feel the way I feel now back in April. And I don't want to feel the way I felt back in April again. And the only way I can do that is by continuing this way of eating.
That's awesome, man. That's really great advice. That's definitely going to help thousands of people out there, for sure, no doubt. So let's jump into where people can find you on the internet.
I'm at
just YouTube, or
well, I don't put as much out on Facebook or on Instagram as much as I do on YouTube, but I do post all my stuff to Facebook. That, you know, when I have a new video come out and so forth, you can find me at Overcoming Carbs on Facebook. You're going to find me at Overcoming Carbs on Instagram as well. I only put, you know, little snippets out there on Instagram whenever something, you know, I see something or just something interests me. But most of the time it's through YouTube to Facebook, or I'll post certain things out on just straight out on Facebook. But that's where you can also reach me.
Nice. And it's Overcoming Carbs on YouTube also, right?
Right.
Cool. That's super easy to remember.
Yeah, it's everywhere. That's one thing when I was making it, I was like, okay, can I get this? Can I get this on YouTube? Yeah, I can. Yep. Can I get this on Instagram and Facebook? Yes, I can. So I just, right? I want to make sure they're all the same.
That's awesome. Well, Ron, it's been an honor to speak with you. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun, especially our discussion about the video games and whatnot. And
speaking of which, my son's right next to me playing a game right now.
Nice. Awesome. We're definitely going to have to get you on the cookout again sometime.
I would love to come back.
For sure. And we'll have to connect at some point, maybe do a live together or just collaborate in some way, shape, or form.
Whatever you want to do, I'm more than open. You just let me know.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll no doubt hear more from Ron in the future, and appreciate talking to you. Have a good one.
Hopefully see less of me.
Right, for sure.
I don't want to say that about you, Adam, because you're pretty good, but I want to see less of me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Take care, Ron.
You too.
Thanks, Ron, for sharing your inspiring journey with us. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to Overcoming Carbs on YouTube, where you'll find some really great content. Thank you again. Stay amazing, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.